Let's pray, and then we'll get a start on this most important of topics. So, Lord, thank you for the privilege of meeting with fellow believers, and I pray, Lord, that you would just help us as we study, Lord, that it would change our minds, but it would also change our mannerisms. It would change not only what we believe, but how we behave, and Lord, not with some kind of legalistic following, but Lord, because we understand what you teach and the wisdom behind it. It is so amazing how you have designed us to function, and I pray that you would help us just to do that. Thank you for the privilege of teaching your word today. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'm going to hand out notes. The first full side is just review. Okay, so we're just going to briefly touch that, and then the for today. So, oh, yeah, you just pass the extras up. Ted's not well informed. And they return the favor. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Okay, if you would, look at your notes. Front page, just took a 100-mile-an-hour view. Actually, we're going to aim for Mach 2. I think that's about 1,200 miles an hour. So the first discipline is Bible saturation. We talked about five things: Bible reading, Bible feeding, Bible treasuring, Bible deepening, and Bible keeping. How's your Bible reading? Are you keeping up? Not even keeping up. That's the wrong word. Are you methodically just working your way through the Word? Chapters. To me, a chapter a day is perfect. That would be the minimum I would encourage people to do. That gets you through the Bible every 3 years. Wow. Just keep going. Just a chapter a day when you get done with Revelation 22. Go back to Genesis 1 or however, whatever order you go in. So just encouragement there. That's just for your review. Prayer, we've looked at it in detail. If I were to do it again, I'd probably take twice as long, just because there's so much about prayer even. But prayer is primarily talking to God, okay, where the Word of God is us receiving information from God. Prayer is talking to God, praising, asking, and thanking God. We pray. Why do we pray? We pray because we can, because we should, because others prayed, because of good. Remember the little poem we did there? And then we've even talked about what not to pray for. We talked about the fact that oftentimes we're praying for things to get out of things that God allowed us to be in the first place. So remember, pray according to God's will. Nevertheless, not my will but yours be done. Jesus didn't say, the cross, get me out of here. He said, no, what do you want done? That's what I'll do, Lord. So there's a lot there on the first page, and I encourage you even just this week to read through it once. Just to remind yourselves, but continue to pray as well. Work on that. I don't think anyone gets ultimately good at praying or Bible reading. You never get to where, oh, I'm done. I've done it enough. So go ahead. And you know what? To me, I feel more hopeful when I pray according to what the Bible says too, then. Because then it, you know, I'm aiming for something that God wants me to aim for rather than trying to make something happen that misses the process even. I think we're all born good at that. the favorite prayers of every saint is, Lord, get me out of here, and Lord, make my life easy. Or easier if you can, you know, kind of thing. God says no and no, you know, the answer to those prayers, so usually. So, But know that, and there's so much about prayer, and it's all the way through the Word of God. So as you read the Word of God, too, you're constantly reminded about praying as well. So very, very amazing. And even we're going to talk about one of Jesus' prayers today that I just quoted further. So, okay, side two. Okay. Now we're going to talk a little bit. And I don't want you to read down. If you would avoid that, some of you already read it and memorized it and you've dissected it and corrected it already. But let's just go question by question here, okay? And I'm just going to ask you some questions, and there's no wrong answers at this point because it's what do you think of when? Okay, so it could be Ted Pizza, you know, or whatever, and that could be a right answer if that's what you think of when I say this, but... What do you think of when you hear the word authority? Let's start out there, okay? What do you think of when you hear the word authority? Police? Is that what you said? Okay. Police are definitely a type of authority. Government? That's just an acronym for it. POTUS. Have you heard of that? Yeah. That's easy. That's why they do it. It's like president. How do you, is it E? Then how do you spell it? POTUS. Pastors. Say what? It's not 12. It's not 12. What else?
Parents.
So we're not going to continue on with the plurality here, which is good. Husband. You think of criminal when you think of authority? Okay. A criminal would be someone who has gone against authority. What else? Okay. God. Ted, if we're race, your logic falls down here a little bit, buddy. Of course, God. Yeah, that's what we meant to say at the beginning. So come on in. Ted, you going to help us out? Yeah, we always have problems like that. That's good. Teachers, okay. Ted, where are you? Teacher, I'm a teacher. Bosses, okay. Okay, so you're thinking of authority positions. Bosses. Okay. I'm Lynn's pastor. I'm Lynn's boss. I'm his teacher. He's like, Lord, wake me up from this. It's a bad dream. Did we lose a table or did we just... That's fine. I kind of like this, actually. It's just that we're running out of space. Here, Jeff, when you get to that point. So. We're just on the top of the second page. The first page is all review. We spent all of 2 minutes in that. So. Okay, let's move on. What do you think of when you hear the word submission? Really? Speed limit. Okay, wives. Now, Jeff, are you speaking in a wives as in Mormon sense? I wonder if that's why my wife says, honey, you're the best wife I've ever had. What? You are. You're the only wife I've had, too. But okay, wives, okay. Isn't that normally the first on the list? Employees, so Lynn's, oh, it's coming out. God, you think of God, okay. See, now, if there was a stack of brownies there, you would be in close to heaven as you could get there. What else? Submission. Really? Oh, stop by your house. I'm teasing. Pen? Anyone need a pen? What else? I'm thinking of rebate, but submit these forms to. Go ahead, Judy.
Well, if we look at Easter, you think that Jesus really absorbed the
body. Okay. Hard. I'm going to capitalize that. Is okay, Valerie? And I'll go like this. I think we got the emphasis down. It is hard. Just for Valerie, though. Not for. Yeah. I was just taking it as a personal testimony. Huh? Yeah, just. Good reason. And all God's wives said, amen. It's like, and all of God's husbands said, we know. Go ahead, Judy. Okay. Annie. Oh, so you can kind of relate to Valerie a little bit? Okay. I'm like, oh, but Valerie, I have no idea what you're talking about. Hard. My wife finds it, oh, I'd love to submit to you, dear. Okay. Yeah, it's a process. That's huge. That's very huge. I'm not going to tell you who said this one, Brianne. It's like radar here. we probably won't take the weight off of wives. We're just going to add it to everybody else. We're going to share the weight of submission, okay, when we get to it. Next question, who do these words affect and in what realms of life? So I'm going to put who, and I'm going to just shorten this to where. Okay? Marriage. What was that, Ben?
God
all. Okay. Okay. Marriage. God in every place, so all, okay? Or all, it affects all who and all. Oh, that was all. These are true. You could say place. What else? I mean, most people, when they think of submission, you're thinking, oh, marital counseling or some, you know, something like that. And it's like, that is one area of submission. Now, this is stealing my thunder for weeks to come, but do you realize that there's 17 relationships in the Bible that are said to submit to one another or submit to something? When we think submission, you're thinking, oh, bummer. Mother's Day, right? Now it's like, no, it's one of them. But it's not the only one, by far. In fact, it fits God's mold of everything. So we'll get to that. Government. And you talk about hard. Getting hard. Really? He says that. Where does he say that? We're going to talk about that. In fact, we'll probably spend a whole Sunday school class on how do I respond to sinful authority. And we're just going to, I don't know, maybe Valerie can give personal testimony. I'm just working off of here, Ben. That's all I'm saying. No, I'm saying, what about government? What about wrong authority in government? What about wrong authority? What if you went to a church where the pastors were imperfect? I mean, at what level do you... What about kids and parents? I mean, I'm just assuming that other people's families have imperfect parents. I actually preached a sermon series on this whole, the disciplines. And that's why I was joking about my kids having perfect parents. And it's like, I don't even think people laughed. And they think, how stupid of a statement. Of course you're not perfect, you know. What is the response when, as always, we find ourselves under sinful and imperfect authority? We're going to have to spend a whole class on that. Do we rebel? Is rebellion ever right? Right, but I'm saying, is that rebellion or is that just submission to a higher authority? Because the Bible says rebellion is as the, is it ever right to rebel? We'll talk about that. I'm not answering that question. I'm just whetting your appetite. You're like, I mean, no, that's good. We'll talk about that, though, because rebellion is to go against authority. We're going to talk about today, I don't think it's ever right to go against authority. There's times when you have to obey a higher authority, but that's not going against authority. Then you're just obeying the highest authority. It's not rebellion. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Pray about it. Is that what he said? Yeah, but though sometimes you don't have to, do children have to pray to obey their parents? Usually? No, because the Bible already commands you to do that, right? That kind of stuff. So, and then husbands, love your wives. And so, let's move on. Okay, every area of life and every person, a lot of times people think submission, if I had known it was about wives, I wouldn't come today, you know? It's like, no. You're missing the point, and it's everybody. Everyone is under authority, which requires everyone to submit to that authority. And guess what? That's God's idea, not yours or mine. Let me ask you this. How many here drive? Everyone? Lynn flies. I've seen him before, but it's kind of a hover on the, above the ground. But what are those stupid lines in the middle of the street? Those dotted lines. Is that not a form of authority that you submit to or should? Or the speed limits? Was that a personal testimony, Joe, or just the speed limit thing? It came right. I mean, did you think speed limit when I mentioned submission to you? Only one person here. I'm like, God, break this kid's heart, man. Just he's like, 3 more weeks, then she's mine. Okay, so he's doing this right now too. He thinks father-in-law to be was his first one, but he thought I'll just throw out speed limit. And he does a great job, by the way. So, where was I at? Dotted lines. Dotted lines, yeah, of speeding or something. Yeah. The dotted lines are a form of authority. The speed limit's a form of authority, and we're submitting all the time or not. All the time. You know, one way. And we're going to talk about it. Do you ever grow too old for authority? It's like, because I'm a father. That's an understatement, by the way. For most people, it's like, yes, you are. Okay? But I'm saying, do you ever grow to the point where you're not under the authority of your parents? And if so, is there an age limit to being under authority of your parents? We're going to talk about that, not today. And Jenny's like, come on, you keep doing this to me. What's your definition of father? I'm going to look it up. But, okay, but I'm saying, is that your view, or is it actually something from Scripture? At what age does the Bible say you're out from under the authority of your parents? Good, no hands up, because it doesn't say. We're going to talk about that. And is there a change? Other times when there's a change. Do I believe that there's a different authority structure for my daughter who's 27 today? Esther's 27 today. I emailed her at 12-something this morning, and again a little bit later, I emailed her the little lullaby that I wrote her when she was just a baby. So I'll sing it for you sometime, but I'll cry right now if I do it. But, and I'm not a baby. So, but authority. Where am I getting all these rabbit trails at? And I'm like, I get off and there's, huh? Where was I going? Where was I going to? Oh, change in relationships. There you go. Thank you. Elizabeth is a walking recorder, actually. So she just had to rewind a little bit before she could answer. Esther's married to Shane for almost 7 years. I like looking at my calendars over here. Almost 7 years. I can remember how old she is. She's exactly 20 years younger than I am. So Suzanne is 30 years younger than I am. Kari is 40 years younger than I am. So it's pretty, these are my milestone kids. But anyway, back to change and authority. Is Esther still responsible in some way or another to her parents? Even though she's married? Yes, though it's a different level of authority because she is married. Okay, we'll talk about that. Now, what Ben was saying is, do you think God has anything to do with authority? Yeah, we'll get into that. That's today. Yes, the answer to that question would simply be, yes. In fact, you can put in parentheses everything. Because God has everything to do with authority. And that's not a bad thing, it's a good thing. If you think dotted lines are a good thing in driving, and you think that it's good for people to follow those dotted lines, or even your taillights as a form of authority, brake lights, woo, I don't have to stop, I'm 18. You know, whatever. If you follow people's logic, it's like... Whatever, but yes, everything is submitting to authority, Christian. In other words, another way to say it, if we're supposed to be Christ-like, if Christ submitted to authority, then we should, right? Is it Christian or not? Did Christ submit to authority? Okay. So submitting to authority is Christian. It's Christ-like. It's not some imposition that we do because we're legalistic. No, it's structured. Submitting to authority is as fluid and important as the lines in the road or the stop signs or the crosswalks in our land or even the building codes. Though, again, there's absurdity in all of those. Okay? But by and large, there's reasons for authority, and it gives us structure in society, in every way, okay? It is our benefactor, not, it doesn't take away nearly as much as it helps us, okay? How many remember, before we actually get started on Romans 13 here, what happened, who was in charge of Iraq before we went in this last time? Saddam Hussein. And let me ask you this. Was he the authority there? And that's not a trick question. Yeah, he was a despot. He was a dictator, okay? He did many, many wicked and evil things, murdered many people. What happened when he was overthrown? For a long period of time, Iraq was literally in chaos because there was no authority. And who ran the country? Whoever had the biggest gun at the time, wherever you were at. Authority is a good thing. Even wicked authority brings structure to society to some degree. Now, in your notes here, Romans 13, 1 and 2, Paul says this. Paul writes this at a time when a nice, gentle man by the name of Nero, Lynn laughed, was ruling Rome. So this isn't, we're not making things up. Even wicked rulers bring a societal structure. Now let's look at Romans 13, 1 and 2. This is the first memory passage that I want you to work on. If you don't do anything else throughout this time, this is the foundational concept that we're trying to teach. Let's all read this together from your notes there. If you see that, it starts out with the word let. Do you see that? And if you want to keep reading on into the Greek, you're welcome to do that as well. But we're just going to read the English. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Let's break this down just a little bit. What's God's command? The word that I want you to fill in there is every. It says, let every soul. Now, who would that include? I mean, if we just wanted to just ballpark it here. Every soul would apply to, that would be every soul, wouldn't it? What does it say in the Greek? It says every soul. Oh, okay, that clears it up. Or you could say every life. You could translate the same word life. So who is it talking to here? Raise your hand if it involves you. Raise your hand if it involves you. And if you can't raise your hand, everyone should have your hand raised, or at least in spirit, okay? Every soul, that's everyone. Let every soul, and the command is be subject. And then we'll get into words for submit or follow later, but it's hupotasso. It's to place yourself under. To be subject to the governing authorities. That's a command. You submit to governing authorities. Now, directly, it's talking about what? It's talking about government. This direct context is government. We're not bending the passage to fit what we want to say. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, okay? But notice, the next part, this next section is so powerful. And this is what we have to grasp and understand. And it'll fall together. Hang with me on this study. You will just be amazed at what it'll do to your attitude to those that are your authorities. It's huge. For there is, what? No authority except from God. What is that saying? Yeah, well, it actually goes on and says that almost. But there's no authority except from God. So which authorities are from God? All of them. Let's go back. Saddam Hussein? Yes or no? Based upon the Word of God. Yes. Nero? Barack Obama? Yes. Yes. Does that mean of the three that we've mentioned, they're godly? We're not saying that. We're not saying that at all. We're saying there's no authority except from God. Isn't that what it says? That's not saying all authorities are doing what God wants. Is that what it said? No, it says there's no authority except from God. How about Adolf Hitler? We're using the most extreme cases. Joseph Stalin. You could just go on and on and on. Yes. What about Abraham Lincoln? Yes. Well, he's easier, you know. Then it says all authorities. What about parents? It says there's no authority. Yes. What about pastors? It's on the list. Yes. What about, did I say parents? Okay. What about teachers? What about husbands? What about police? Okay. There's no authority except from God. Yeah. It was man-made thunder. They were dragging something upstairs. Okay. There's no authority except from God. Now look at the next part. Let's say God's connection. The word I want you to put here is God created authority. Authority of any kind. That's what it's stating. And there's no authority exists apart from God. That's what it's saying here. No authority exists apart from God. God created authority of any kind. So whose idea was authority? God's idea. Okay? So all of a sudden, that changes. It should change the way we look at this. Authority sounds like a bad word to us, especially in the independent United States of America. By the way, find the word independent in the Bible. I believe that is one of the most wicked lies of our day. The idea that independence. Now, Declaration of Independence, understand, is they're saying we believe that we must follow God rather than you. It's not independence. We do our own thing. In the United States of America today, independence means I'll do what I want, you do what you want. The Bible never teaches that. It's a lie. Okay? Authority is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. There's no authority but from God. Authority is created by God. That's, and it must be good because God only does good things. Okay? Let's keep reading here. And it says, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. So God appoints authorities. So let me ask you this. Who are your authorities? You can just in your head for the moment, because we're going to ask you this a little later, but who are your authorities? And you say, okay, If you're a child, which we all are, I'm not using that in an age-related way, who are your authorities? Your parents. They're appointed by God. We are teaching a song on Wednesday nights to our kids. It's called The Ten Unchangeables. It starts out, and I won't sing it all for you, because one, I am one of a kind, I'm unique. God designed me the way I am, on purpose. Two, another thing that I cannot change that God had to choose and design was two is for my mom and dad, right? How many chose your parents? Maybe the only process that I know of that could do that is if you are older and you choose whether or not to be adopted by somebody, but you didn't choose your physical parents. And really, they didn't choose you all that much either. You know, to be honest, they got what they got. Really. You know, it's just what God created ultimately. Okay? So your authority, your parents, what about the police? The Bible says that they don't exist apart from God. God appointed them. In other words, even though people might hire people or elect people or whatever, listen, God is ultimately behind it. You see the Old Testament, and God allows good people or bad people to become the king of Israel or the king of Judah because of what he wants to happen. Okay? Am I for the direction of the United States of America right now? I am not. I cannot be, based upon what I believe the Bible to teach. But folks, a lot hasn't changed in quite some time in that arena. It isn't just a Republican or Democrat thing, honestly. Okay, there's more to it than that. But do I believe that God controls all that happens? I do. Do I believe there could be more godly leaders in government? Absolutely. If I shook my head as much as I believe that, my head would fall off. I believe there's a huge vacuum of righteousness in our government anymore. Okay? But I believe that Barack Obama is who God wanted in office. Does that make Barack Obama godly?
No.
It does not. It makes God, God. Okay? God is in charge. So all of those are God appoints authorities. So we have to say there's no authority except from God, and all the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Then we must conclude that, for instance, Barack Obama has been appointed by God, and to some degree maintains structure and authority and accountability to keep us protected. You don't want to live in a society where there's no authority, people. That was what Iraq was, okay, for a while, okay? That doesn't make everything any president or mayor or whatever do godly. It doesn't. But it makes it say that, you know what, God is in control. God, the Bible says that God can turn the heart of a king. God, remember Nebuchadnezzar? Remember that guy in the Old Testament? And he was like, I look out and I have such a wonderful kingdom. He was the strongest man in all of history to that point. Remember, he had a dream, and it was the, you know, the head of gold and the, you know, the body of silver and all that. And basically, Daniel warned him and said, "You think you did all of this, and you didn't. God did. God allowed you to do this." And Nebuchadnezzar looks out one day and says, "Ah, look what I've done!" And what did God do to him? Yeah. He went down on all fours for how long? 7 years. I bet you he didn't want to taste grass after that. 7 years of eating grass. Probably under the protection of Daniel. Guess what? Daniel understood authority. David understood authority. Remember, he wouldn't kill Saul? Why? Because he's the anointed one. Not because he wasn't good at all. But God put him there. It's God's responsibility to what? Take him out in his time or whatever, okay? But then Nebuchadnezzar was down, and then after 7 years, he looked up and he said, I understand that God places people in office. God puts people up and he tears them down. And it's the most amazing proclamation, okay? He understood that, and he was the tyrannical king, and he understood. God helped him see that he was not who he thought he was. He was under the ultimate authority. God appoints authorities. I got Nebuchadnezzar, Pontius Pilate. We're going to look at this in a couple weeks, but I have it here too. It's in your notes here, over in the box to the right. I'll fill in the blanks there in a second in that first box here. But notice, then Pilate said to him, this is Jesus now, are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you? You know, you should be kissing my ring and shaking in your boots and all that. And what did Jesus say to Pontius Pilate? Jesus answered, you can have no power. By the way, this word power is the word authority. There's a couple different words, but that's Paul. Pontius Pilate said, don't you know that I have the authority to crucify you, the authority to release you? And Jesus said, you can't have any authority at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Now, who are we talking about here? Nice guy? Pontius Pilate was was terrible, man. And he allowed a perfectly innocent man be crucified. By the way, there's an indicator of what our responsibility is to authority. That Jesus ran away because Pontius Pilate was being wrong. Help me out here. He did not rebel against the authority that he was in front of that was treating him unfairly. What did he do? He yielded to that authority. Am I right? Okay, we're going to get to that. That's just a little taste. Okay? Therefore, resisting God's authorities is resisting God himself. The Bible says, therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. If God places authorities over you and you resist those authorities, whom are you resisting? You don't even have to guess. The Bible tells you, if you resist authority, which only can exist from God, and all authorities are appointed by God, then who are you resisting? God. That's pretty mathematically logical at that point, right? Resisting God's authorities brings, what is it saying? Those who resist will bring judgment on yourself. Okay? Isn't that what Satan did? Rebelled? I mean, you can just go throughout. Isn't that what, the rebellion is the sin of witchcraft statement? Who is that written to? Who's that stated to? Samuel said that to Saul. Because he did not fully obey God. He made his own rules. Now, we asked, is submitting to authority Christian? In other words, is it Christ-like? You better believe it. Jesus' example of submitting to authority. Folks, it is as Christian as you can get. It's as Christ-like as you can get to yield to authority. Christ yielded to God. And we're going to come back to this, so this is just an overview. We'll be back to Jesus later, but to God. In that box there, and notice there's a blank. It says, the first one, it says, not my will, but yours. If it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. So Jesus submitted to the Father. He yielded to the Father's choice for him rather than choosing his own. Which, by the way, folks, I don't know of anyone who says, yeah, please, crucify me. Pick me. Right? And you understand, too, that Jesus was going to bear the weight of all mankind. So it's stuff that we probably can't even fully understand. But Jesus is saying, hey, if I can get out of this, let that be. But nevertheless, I'll do what you want. Okay? The next one is Pilate. Jesus yielded to Pilate. He didn't run away. He didn't punch him. He didn't swing out of the way. What did he do? He allowed the government to put him to death. Because why? Ultimately, God's ultimate plan, but guess what? He yielded to government. How many Christians have been burned at the stake? Or killed. Was that dumb? How dumb is that? That's like jumping out of a perfectly good airplane. Come on. Which I've done too. But that shows you how dumb I am, I guess. But I'm saying they're like, all you have to do is recant. And then you can just say, I don't believe this anymore, and we'll let you go. How dumb is that? And they say, no, I will not recant. John Wycliffe was one. There's many, many people that were tortured and murdered for the sake of the gospel. And they were allowing themselves to be doing that. They didn't get a gang together and try and destroy the structure of authority. Jesus also yielded to his abusers even. That's the last underscore there. We're going to talk about that more. There's probably, other than Romans 13, there's probably no more powerful passage than 1 Peter 2 that talks about yielding to authority, and it'll knock your socks off. It'll change the way you think. Let me give you a taste of this too. How about this? Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters. That's already politically incorrect, yes? Help me out here. But it goes on to say, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For what good is it if you are beaten for your faults? You get what you deserve. But if you are beaten for conscience' sake, this is good and well-pleasing in the sight of God. Does that change your perspective a little bit? And then guess who it gives us an example later on? For Jesus, when he was reviled, did not revile again. And ultimately, he goes on to say, but he committed himself to the Father, if you will, the highest authority. That was his logic going in for Pilate. Hey, God, the Father, Pilate is your man, and I am under him. You know what you're doing. Okay? That's a taste of it. By the way, name somebody else that Jesus submitted to. It rhymes with Barry and Hosef. He went back to his home and was submissive to them. Let me ask you this. How many people here had perfect parents? I didn't say good parents. I said perfect parents. How about if you had a perfect child? I'm not what people say is a perfect child. No, he was really perfect. He never sinned. I bet you his brothers, half-brothers, if you will, remember Mary and Joseph had several more sons and daughters by them. I bet you they hated his guts. It seems like they did until they got saved even. They thought he was an idiot. Remember as an adult, like, oh, he's out of his mind. You know, we could have told you that, you know, kind of thing. And yet, what about being unfair? Your parents ever be unfair to you? You know, whether rules, regulations, or whatever, or they just didn't understand? All I can say is Jesus was there. And he knew what they were thinking. He knew why they were thinking. He knew their sin natures. And yet he submitted to imperfect parents. Now, the Bible doesn't go into a lot of detail, but you don't have to go into a lot of detail. Okay? Mary and Joseph were sinners. And his brothers and sisters were sinners, half-brothers and sisters, if I can use that, if that makes sense. They were sinners, okay? And yet Jesus submitted to his parents. What an amazing thing. What an example. It has nothing to do with the perfection of those that you're under. Pilate wasn't perfect. Hello? Okay, it has nothing to do with their qualification. It's understanding who appoints authority, right? That changes your perspective. All of a sudden you're not saying, well, I'm not going to follow you because you're not doing what I want you to do, which means then I would be in charge and I wouldn't be following you, I'd be following me. I don't understand. Okay. Questions for you. And again, this is just an introduction. In fact, that's the title of the document that I put, Introduction. What authorities are you under? List them. List them real quick. What are some authorities? What authorities are you under? And that would be somewhat different for each one of us to some degree or another. Yeah, just write them down. You can write them down. But parents, you know, obviously. And then the next question is, which of these are placed over you by God? Yeah. All of them. I mean, the imperfect ones? It's like, folks, what authority is not imperfect in your life? God alone. Otherwise, all of your authorities are imperfect. They're all sinful. They all have sin natures, and they will not do it perfectly. Did you catch that? And by the way, God established all this after the fall, even for the most part. all of the government and all this stuff came after the fall. He knew what he was doing. He said he set this up within sinful society. Not, oh, I had no idea all this was going to happen. Huh. Now what do? The whole authority thing isn't going to work anymore. No, he didn't change anything even after the fall with Adam and Eve. He comes into the garden. We'll get into this in Genesis 2, or in Genesis 3. What was his question? God was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and Eve hid, right? Because they were naked. They were afraid. They were naked. And what does God say? What was the first word? Oh, why did he go to Adam? Yeah, he's the authority. Why did the devil go to Eve? Because he was taking the back door in. She's not the authority. One other thing with regard to this quick rabbit trail. When did God, you know the answer to this, when did God command Eve about the tree? There's no indication that he ever did. When was Adam commanded about the tree? Before Eve was ever created. That's on purpose. God places the responsibility on Adam. When did Adam and Eve know that they were naked? When who ate of the fruit? When Adam ate of the fruit, then the eyes of both of them were open, the Bible says. Chew on that for a while. We'll get into that when we get into authority in the family. Which of these are placed over you by God? Every last one of them. Are you yielding to these authorities? Yeah. Thank you for your honesty. And just like what the anonymous person here that we indicated, it's very hard, and it is. Why? Because we have sinful hearts. And guess what? So do our authorities. And our authorities don't always do things right. In fact, sometimes they do them wrong. They do them sinful. And that's not a personal testimony, but it is. Okay? What's the half of the challenge of my kids following my authority? Their authority is sinful. Okay? All right? So it's a challenge. But guess what? That's part of God. It's part of God's design for this to work even within the realm of sin. Okay? Someone mentioned one other thing. What makes a Christian marriage Christian? It isn't that there's a lack of sin, but there's a Christian response to sin, right? Isn't that what makes the difference? It isn't a lack of imperfection. It's what do you do with that imperfection? The sin that's there, right? It's a Christian response to whatever. So, questions or comments? Good introduction. Whet your appetite. There's no authority but from God. No authority exists from God, and every authority exists is appointed by God. That changes the way we think about whomever is over us. And I didn't learn that early. I learned that later. I remember sharing a story about my platoon sergeant in the Army. I was very rebellious in attitude. And I didn't understand. He wasn't a perfect guy. Like, wow, Kevin, that's amazing. But it took me years later when I started studying the Word of God more. It's like how terrible I was, how awful I was as a Christian testimony by how I responded to my platoon sergeant. So I've since been able to ask his forgiveness, which has been great. But learn it now. It's huge. It's huge. So this is a basic discipline. It starts in the Garden of Eden and moves on. So next week, what is authority? That's what we're going to talk about next week. So in more detail from a biblical standpoint. So, Father, thank you for each and every person here. And I pray that you would help us as we study your word. Lord, we are needy. And we aren't born with this information, and we certainly don't come to these conclusions on our own because we are sinful and our hearts don't lead us in the right direction. Help us to learn and be changed by your truth. And help us in turn to be able to encourage others in the truth by what we say and how we live your truth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.